Good afternoon, and welcome to Security in South America. I am your host, Sam Logan. Today's show focuses on Brazilian organized crime and the true power behind the criminals that orchestrated prison riots and the violence that flooded the city of Sao Paulo from May 12 until May 20. The First Capital Command, known as the PCC in Portuguese, counts hundreds of thousands of poor Brazilians as members of its criminal network. This group is highly organized and uses two-way radios and cell phones to communicate and organize the bulk of its business. The PCC is a black market financier for criminal enterprise. It pays for the education of lawyers, politicians, and security officials. The trade-off? Work to facilitate PCC business when you're reelected, appointed, or otherwise in a position of power. Corruption feeds a cycle of organized crime that is slowly eating away at Brazil's democratic institutions. And the legislative branch of government, the judiciary and court system, and the security sector are favored targets. While the PCC operates in Sao Paulo, it has a presence throughout the country and is aligned with organized criminal factions that control the drug trade in Rio de Janeiro. The following column explains in depth how the riots orchestrated by the PCC are just a drop in the bucket relative to the real damage this organization can do to South America's largest and most important economy. I'll be back with you once the column has been read to offer other ideas for consideration. Sit back and enjoy.
Brazil's PCC, true power behind the violence. The violence that paralyzed Sao Paulo from May 12th until May 20th revealed the raw power of the First Capital Command, PCC in Portuguese, considered one of the most powerful organized criminal factions in Brazil. Prison riots that erupted in nearly 100 prisons led to over 150 murders, destroyed city buses, and terrorized millions of citizens, propelling Brazil onto the world stage. Yet a more deeply rooted system run by the PCC reveals how powerful this gang has become. On May 10th, just 2 days before the riots began, two members of the Sao Paulo Department of Investigation of Organized Crime, Mrs. Bittencourt and Fahaz, testified before the Brazilian Government Inquiry Commission on the Traffic of Illegal Weapons about their understanding of the true power of the PCC. Bittencourt and Fahaz testified that the PCC is a very serious problem that is only growing. They blame Sao Paulo authorities for separating and sending to other Brazilian states various leaders of the PCC, by pointing out that because of this separation, the PCC now has a strong presence on a national level in Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, Bahia, Rio Grande do Sul and Brasília. According to Bittencourt and Fahaz, the PCC controls over 140,000 prisoners in the state of Sao Paulo alone. Another 500,000 individuals support the organization outside the prison system. This group helps enforce some 100 cases of extortion organized by the PCC on a daily basis, representing some 70% of kidnapping cases in Brazil's financial capital of Sao Paulo. Apart from a proven ability to organize simultaneous widespread prison riots and destabilize public security, the organization has constructed a network of informants, lawyers, blue-collar workers, gun and drug dealers, and bankers to do its bidding. This network is held together by a criminal financial system that finances education, facilitates crime, and engages in killings. Bittencourt was quoted as saying, "To be associated with the PCC is good business." Membership fees are the bread and butter of the PCC. For prisoners, a fee of $25 is charged every month. Individuals on the outside pay a fee of $225. Given these fees and the high membership numbers both inside and outside the prison system, it is possible that the PCC organization earns millions of dollars a month from fees alone. Criminal finance is another revenue stream. If a group needs $10,000 to mount a bank robbery, they can go to the PCC. In this case, the PCC acts as a black market bank to finance and facilitate criminal activities. To distribute weapons, the PCC uses SEDEX, a Brazilian courier system known for reliability and timely delivery. Weapons as large as assault rifles have allegedly been delivered by SEDEX to the waiting hands of criminals. The PCC's weakest link is its legal team. Currently, 18 lawyers serve the PCC leadership, according to Bittencourt. They oversee dozens of legal cases against PCC members and make regular visits to PCC leaders imprisoned around the country. Brazilian law protects the lawyer-client relationship to extremes. Prison authorities are not allowed to search lawyers when they enter the prison to visit their clients. Many believe that the lawyers bring cell phones, two-way radios, laptops, and other critical tools the PCC needs to keep its criminal system running. Reaching beyond its current legal team, the PCC supports law students, paying full tuition in exchange for services once they have a law degree. The PCC's educational funding extends to future politicians and other individuals who indicate an interest in entering Brazil's political world. The group also facilitates the path for students who want to enter public security. These efforts and more act as a well-planned insurance policy to ensure the continued existence of the PCC through the manipulation of Brazil's judicial, political, and security systems. It was the manipulation of Brazil's political system that led to the purchase of the testimony Bittencourt and Fahaz prepared for their audience. For some $100, the PCC purchased a testimony from an employee of a company contracted to record and transcribe congressional hearings. The material was allegedly purchased by a PCC lawyer, who delivered the information to the PCC leadership. Also documented in this material was Bittencourt's decision to move on May 12th PCC leaders to more secure prisons to prevent what they had learned would be widespread prison rioting on May 14th. The PCC once again proved their superior intelligence networks when they began the riots 2 days early, leading to a week-long struggle to bring peace and rule of law back to Sao Paulo. As a criminal enterprise, the PCC took life inside a Sao Paulo prison in 1993, when prisoners grouped together to force the improvement of their living conditions. Since then, many prisoners, their family members, and other poor Brazilians idolized the PCC as an armed faction of Brazil's extreme left political flank, working to improve the rights and lives of impoverished Brazilians. For this reason, the PCC draws many of its young recruits from the shanty towns surrounding Sao Paulo. Many of the people in these communities believe the PCC speaks for them when it fights against what they perceive as a deeply corrupt political organization, beleaguered by broken judicial and penitentiary systems that support an oppressive security structure. A great irony is many Brazilians believe the PCC fights for them against the government that they consider the true oppressor. At the same time, the PCC has demonstrated a level of power that can only be achieved by taking advantage of the loopholes and cracks in various democratic institutions that today in Brazil appear to facilitate organized crime, more than protect and serve Brazilian citizens. What happened in the second week of May 2006 is a minor showing of the true power the PCC holds. It is a level of sophistication and organization that the international media have not been able to elucidate, and that people in Brazil would rather not talk about.
What the journalists who do not normally report on organized crime will not tell you is that groups like the PCC are not just an occasional hiccup. They are well entrenched and are problems for public security that will not go away if ignored. These riots highlighted two interesting weaknesses in the Brazilian security system. First, Brazilian authorities are not in control of the situation in Brazil's prisons or on the urban streets that wind through her shanty towns. When a small group of men stole 10 rifles from an ammo dump in Rio, the Brazilian military did not find the weapons until it had negotiated with the leaders of Rio's top organized criminal faction. Likewise, in Sao Paulo, the prison riots did not end until security officials negotiated with the PCC. In both cases, officials have denied these claims. Yet it remains clear that organized crime in Brazil has better intelligence and more manpower, it is better financed, and has just as many guns, if not more. The only edge Brazil's security sector has on organized crime factions is superior training. Brazil's urban guerrilla warriors, members of the elite battalion of special operations, which is part of the military police, are some of the best trained SWAT team members in the world, and they get to practice all the time. Despite this training, and this is point number two, the elite troops are some of the most vicious in the world. Their regard for human rights does not exist. They are true warriors and feed off of extreme violence, torture, revenge, and operate on a shoot first, ask questions later basis. For that reason, the cops that retaliated to the prison riots and attacks on police structures in Sao Paulo killed quite a few people. Many of them were likely innocent. Imagine that for a few days, more people died in Sao Paulo than in Baghdad. And most of those shooting were cops. Most dying were poor Brazilians. It is a cycle that will only feed more members into the ranks of the PCC, as the media portrays poor Brazilians being slaughtered by enraged policemen. Next time, we will discuss Hugo Chavez's shopping list. It's full of fighter jets, attack helicopters, submarines, and patrol boats. But what's more interesting are the thousands of brand new assault rifles Venezuela will receive at the end of June, rampant corruption in the Venezuelan armed forces, and the fact that the FARC would pay top dollar to corrupt officials for such fine merchandise. You have been listening to Security in South America. I'm your host, Sam Logan.